book of Leviticus, chapter number 5. You may be able to detect the fact that my voice is leaving me rapidly. It may not be here Wednesday night, Danny, so you might take a hint from that, son. I don't know if I'll have a voice or not by then, so I wouldn't want you to not be ready, amen, or somebody else to help me out a little bit if I can't speak, but we're going to make it through tonight. Tonight we come in Leviticus chapter number 5 to verse 14. We're going to begin reading through chapter 6 at verse 7, and we're going to be talking tonight about what the Bible calls a trespass offering. Now this is the last of the 5 major offerings that we're going to deal with in the book of Leviticus. There are little accentuating offerings and things that we will find later, but we have 5 major offerings that are pictured in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that typify the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and what He did for us. We have studied the burnt offering, the consecration of our life, the meal offering, the consecration of our labor, the peace offering in our communion with God, and last time we studied the sin offering, which depicts for us the cleansing of our sin. And tonight, as we come to the trespass offering, I want you to think about the dealing with the condemnation of our sin. For the trespass offering could quite literally be translated a guilt offering. So let's begin reading tonight in chapter 5 and verse 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the 5th part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the 5th part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Thus is the reading of the trespass offering. What's the difference between a sin offering and a trespass offering? The sin offering, if you will, deals with the principle of our sin, which lieth in the root of our heart, and the trespass offering has to do with the practice of that sin. We are sinners because of that which dwells within our heart. We have sin which is resident in our heart. It has not been obliterated. It has not been annihilated yet. The Apostle Paul made it plain that there was a law of sin and death that operated in his body in Romans chapter number 7. And therefore, because that law of sin and death resides within my body, then the result of it will be outward practice, or practical, if you will, sins. You'd think that after enough practice, we might get it perfect, and surely we do, because it consummates in death. And so the sin offering had to do with that thing which related to God and our fellowship with Him, and that which cut off our relationship with Him. Now, what do we want to see in all this? As we look at all of the details, and some of them seem a little mysterious to us, what is the thing we want to keep focusing in the back of our mind? It is this, that God is holy, and we cannot approach God unless our sins and our trespasses have been taken care of. Amen? Now I was saved 24 years ago. You've heard me say that many times. And my sins were washed away, but I would not like to catalog for you tonight the sins and the trespasses that I have committed since the day that I was saved. And so it's been a daily part of my life, and it should be your life, to confess my sins to God. Now, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about sins of ignorance, amen. And so, you know, you say, well, I don't know that I've done anything wrong. Well, honey, that's what ignorance is all about. You might have did, so it'd be a good idea to talk about God. Say, God, listen, I don't know if I've done anything, but if I have, kind of let me know. And if I have, I want you to forgive me of it right now, amen. Now, that may seem childish, it may seem simple, but that's the way that it works. When we go later in the book of Leviticus and we begin to deal with the dietary laws of the Old Testament, you're going to have to realize that God said a lot of the things that He said because He's holy, amen. And anybody that had touch or eaten or anything that was unclean could not approach God. That's absolutely how holy He is. And so the sin offering cuts us off from God, but the trespass offering is a sin which we commit against somebody else. As a matter of fact, the word trespass, if you look at it, almost always refers to an invasion of the rights of others as pertains to property or service. And so you may be driving down the road, especially up in the neck of the woods where some of you live, pass a piece of land, you see a sign nailed on the side of the tree, and it'll say, no trespassing. Now, that's a good example of what a trespass is. A trespass is when somebody invades or violates the rights of somebody else. Somebody has said, well, where do our rights end? Your rights end where mine begin, and my end where yours begins. And my rights should never, ever infringe upon your rights. Amen. And so that's what the trespass offering is all about. But we need to realize that trespasses are not only committed against one another, but they're also committed against God. And so we see a similar formula here for the trespass offering as we did the sin offering. Amen. And so he who brought a sin offering almost always would bring a trespass offering with it. Now let's deal a little more with the definition of trespass there. You remember the sin offering was the word kata, and it meant to miss the mark. We see it revealed in the New Testament in the word hamartia, which means to fall short of God's glory. Fall short of God's intents and His purposes for humanity and for my life and for your life. But the word trespass is a totally different word here. They seem very similar, but the Hebrew words are quite different. The word used here for the trespass is the word asham, which is translated guilty. As a matter of fact, if you look in chapter number 6, in one of the verses there, in verse 4, you'll find that the word guilty is used there. And so, the definition of a trespass means that somebody has been demonstrated to be guilty. To be guilty, either before God or before man. Now, what does a trespass do? What does it incur? Well, in its definition, we're going to find in the Bible that it's revealed to us in a couple of ways. First of all, it's a sin that produces a debt. A sin that produces a debt. If you'll go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to look in chapter number 6 at what has been called the Lord's Prayer. It actually was the pattern prayer for the disciples and for you and me. But let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse number 12. Matthew 6, well, let's read the whole prayer. Verse 9, Jesus said, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now notice verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, is Jesus saying that we should pray, Lord, forgive me for the JCPenney bill that I got this week, this month? Is he saying, should I ask forgiveness for God because I was extended a line of credit? or a mortgage on my house? Is that what he's praying, that we should pray for forgiveness for financial debts? Now, probably in some of our cases, we probably should pray for forgiveness for our waywardness in the matter of credit and debt. But that's not what he's talking about here. This New Testament word, debt, is that Old Testament word, trespass. How many of you ever heard the Lord's Prayer translated that way? Forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those that trespass against us. You know, somehow or other, I don't know where it came from, but I memorized that prayer that way. And it actually shocked me years ago as I was reading through the Bible and I read the Lord's Prayer that it said, forgive us our debts. I said, wait a minute, where did I get that at? Somewhere I picked it up, I know. But guess what? It's not wrong. That's literally what he's saying here. He's saying, God, you forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive other people who trespass against us. And so the New Testament revelation of this Old Testament illustration carries the same truth, that it is a sin that produces a debt. And so debt is something always occurs with somebody else. Amen. In other words, you have done something that has put you in the debt of another individual. That is a trespass. If you have done somebody wrong, then you owe them something. That means you're in debt unto them. That is exactly what a trespass offering implies. Look how Luke translated it in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11, he quotes the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, the pattern prayer in Luke 11. For us, he said unto them in verse 2 of Luke 11, when you pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, verse number 4 now, and forgive us our sins. What type of sins? For we also forgive everyone that is indebted unto us. And so once again we see the association of this sin of trespass and indebtedness. And so you have trespassed in somebody else's life when you have invaded their territory. You have invaded their lives so to deprive them of something that they should have had or enjoyed. And when you do that, then you're in debt to them and you owe them something. Amen. That is exactly what the picture of the trespass produces for us. That's the debt, amen. I won't tell you, I have a debt to God, amen. I have a debt to you, I have something that I owe, amen. And I need to see that that thing is taken care of, amen. And so we see that it is not only a sin that produces debt, but I'm afraid that it is also a sin that produces distance. And we need to learn that. It produces, first of all, distance from God. Flip back to the Gospel of Matthew one more time. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse number 20. And I want you to see this. A trespass produces distance. It produces debt. It produces distance. First of all, it produces distance from God. Matthew 5, verse 20. Jesus said, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here's what he's saying. You're going to have a lot more righteousness than this religious crowd today if you're going to go to heaven, because they weren't going. And so he says, what kind of a righteousness do they have? Well, read verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. Now, here's what the scribe and the Pharisee said. That is, you shouldn't kill your neighbor, but it's all right to kill your enemy. You have heard it said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that means you empty head, you idiot, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, you worthless, valueless human being, shall be in danger of hellfire. We see a progressive attitude that one person has toward another person. First of all, he's angry with them. Second of all, he looks at them and sees that they are ignorant, empty-headed because they don't see things the same way that they do. And the next progression, they move to the point and say, you're not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow your way. You're a fool. And the next step, the result of that is him seeing no value in the other one. He sees nothing wrong with taking that one's life. And that's what Jesus is saying, that is a work of the heart. And that results when one brother is angry with another brother. It produces this trespass. And so he continues in verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. Now, if you're bringing it to the altar, who are you bringing it to? You're bringing it to God. And there remembers that thy brother hast aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee unto the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Now listen to what he said. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now what's he doing here? He's taking a secular event that people are aware of, and he's teaching a spiritual truth out of it. He's saying, you know that if a man violates the law and he either hurts somebody or he kills somebody, that he will be delivered to the council, to the judge, and he'll be imprisoned, and he will not come out, this is the way it used to be, until he has paid the very last part for the trespass that he has committed on society. Amen. He's saying, now that's the way it is with his people. He said, if you come to an altar with a gift for God, he said, don't waste your time trying to bring it. If you remember that there's a wall, there's a trespass between you and your brother, you get up and you go get that straightened out before you come back. Now, what's the result of the trespass here? The result is that it has produced a distance between God and his people. Amen? And so that's why God gave them the order of the trespass offering, because there would come times when people would have disagreements, when people would fall out, when people would trespass against each other, and he made it very plain that your relationship to me is very close to your relationship to your brother, your people, and if you find yourself in a trespass with your brother, you better get it straight before you come to me. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They believe that, well, I can just go through life. I can be a sourpuss. I can be mad at so-and-so. I can do what I want to do, and I can just ignore it, and everything will be all right. I want to tell you the Bible says different. There are people that got mad with somebody years ago, and they trespassed against them, and vice versa. Those two never did work it out, and I want to tell you something. They never progressed another inch with God since that very day, because they haven't done what the Bible said that they had to do. God is not sitting back in a wicker rocking chair, rocking with a beard, and snoring half the time and ignoring what's going on. God sees it, and it was Jesus who said, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't you hate your enemy. Don't you try to kill your enemy, he said. He said, I want you to understand that being angry with your brother is like murdering your brother. And he said, whenever you find yourself in a state like that because your brother has trespassed against you, then he said, you go get it right with your brother before you come to the altar with me. So what the end result is this. You're a distance from God. So a trespass produces distance from God. Now obviously it also produces distance from man. Flip over a couple of pages in your Bible, maybe one, to Matthew chapter 6 once more, and verse number 14. The latter part, after he gave the disciples pattern for prayer, verse 14, he said this, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, there's the word, the exact word, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, how many of you here believe what that says? Now, that's not Donnie Murphy that said that. That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he walked this earth. And it is written by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and it's wrote in the Bible. And he said this just as plain as I know to say it to you right now. He said, if you won't forgive each other your trespasses where you've invaded and offended the rights of somebody else, then God's not going to forgive you. Huh? Now, what does that mean? That means, neighbor, it means whenever you enter into the gates of glory, if you've been saved, then, honey, you're going to enter that place with some blood on your hands. You're going to stand before a bonfire. It's going to blister your hide, and you're going to be a show of shame before a holy and almighty God that you're going to wish that you'd have got those little P90 things worked out in this life before you stood before God. That's what he's saying here. Because if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, then I will not forgive you. Amen? That's right. Now, the impetus is on the one who has been trespassed against. And this is what I can't get people to see. If I have offended you, it is not your responsibility to go to somebody else and say, Brother Donnie offended me. Get him. The biblical response is for you to come to me yourself and say, Brother Donnie, I'm not sure were aware of it, because you know that most trespasses happen in ignorance. Didn't he say if a man sinned through ignorance? You know you can hurt somebody's feelings by saying something and never have any idea you do, unless they come and say, hey, I don't know if you meant to hurt me through what you said, but man, you hurt me. Now, you know what the Bible says, that if you come to me that way and you express that attitude and say, I really was hurt and I don't know if you meant to do it or whatever, but we need to get this worked out. If I refuse to forgive you, or rather, if you refuse to forgive me whenever I say I'm sorry, please forgive me, then you're not going to be forgiven. That's right. That means you simply came to expose me and to put me to shame before somebody else, to put me down. And that's what happens most of the time. Amen. We put somebody else down because that's the only way we can make ourselves look any better. And we trespass upon each other's rights and liberties in doing so. And the Bible says, God said, that he will not forgive us of those sins. They separate us from God and they separate us from man. Amen. Now look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 18. He gives some more ordinances dealing with this trespass, if you will. You see, people say, well, the book of Leviticus, I don't get anything out of it. It just don't make any sense. That's Old Testament law. I'm reading to you out of the New Testament. What word are we finding over and over here? Trespass. 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 Matthew chapter number 18 and verse 15 through 17. He said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass, there's the word again, against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I'm going to deal with that a little more in a minute. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now what's he saying here? He's saying, if somebody has offended you, and you go and you tell them that they have offended you and trespassed against you, and they say, well, that's just tough, old boy. You know, you need to be a little more of a man, a little more of a woman. The Bible says, then you go get you a couple of witnesses to carry with you, some reliable, independent witnesses, and you deal with the individual again. And still, if they refuse to say, I haven't done anything wrong, then the Bible says tell the church. If they won't hear the church, then the Bible says I'll be put out of the church as a publican or a heathen. That's exactly what that expression there implies. In other words, it's a means of church discipline. Now, here's the point. Well, I didn't do anything to hurt you, but this person may have perceived that what I did hurt them. And I didn't know. What is that? It's a sin of ignorance. That person was hurt. I didn't know about it, but yet the Bible says, guess what, in Leviticus, I'm still guilty. Isn't that what it said? Though he wished it not, yet he is guilty. That's what the Bible said. And so I didn't know I hurt this person, but yet there was a trespass, there was a hurt committed, and that person, if they didn't tell me, I'd go through life and never know nothing about it. They've got to come to me. But I won't tell you what people do. They run. They run for comfort to somebody else. They run to other churches. They run to other places rather than going to the individual. But I won't tell you, your progress with God has stopped right there. Your progress with God has stopped right there. Until you get that right, you've gone as far as God as you're going to go. Or you can be a church member, but I want to tell you something. You're not going to enjoy your Christianity. Amen. You're going to be a miserable church member is what you're going to wind up being. Because back deep down in your heart, if you're saved and born again, the Holy Spirit resides there, and he's got his finger in that little hole in your heart that's been pierced. And he's trying to get you to get that straightened out. And our hard-headedness and stubbornness and our pride is what keeps us going along there. Amen. And these things happen over and over and over again in churches. The greatest sin committed in the church is the sin committed by the tongue. And many times it is ignorance. In other words, they don't have any idea they ever said anything to hurt anybody. And I have to talk more than any of y'all. And so there's a good chance that I offend more of y'all than anyone else in here because I have to do most of the talking. Isn't that right? And so I may say something inadvertently that offended you, and I'm sorry, and I have said some things that probably should have been questioned to some degree, and the way that I said them is maybe some of the words that I used, amen. Then, neighbor, I have no way of knowing that unless you tell me, and vice versa, vice versa. And so what happens is that if this thing is not dealt with, then it produces distance between men in the church and men and women who are part of the family of God. Now, Luke, in chapter 17... He also wrote some scripture as pertains to this concerning forgiveness. Once again, the Lord Jesus is speaking. Luke 17, verse 3. He said, "Take heed to yourselves." This is a warning. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now, what is the basis for all forgiveness? Repentance. Repentance. If I sin against you and trespass against you, and I fail to repent of that trespass, you don't have to forgive me of that. You've done your part. You've done what you should have done. I'll be the one to answer for that in the day of judgment. And you go on with God, and I stay back retarded. Amen? Amen. That's what he said. He said we must forgive even if an individual offends us seven times in one day. You say, well, that'd be pretty hard for a church member to do that. We're going to read some things in Leviticus here in just a minute. This sounds kind of hard to believe that the people of God would do. But, honey, if you've been around the church very long, you know you see some astounding things that you don't believe, amen, over the years. And so trespasses are sins that produce debt, and they produce distance, amen, between God and man. And so let's go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 5, and let's look at some of these things that deal with the trespass offering. Let's talk about the description of trespasses here. God, if you will, catalogs for us some trespasses, and they all deal with fraud. Fraud. What is that? That's taking something belongs to somebody else. Well, surely a child of God or a brother or somebody who was a part of the people of God, an Israelite, wouldn't do that unto his brother. Well, in the latter part of chapter 5 and the first part of chapter 6, he begins to catalog him. And the first thing he deals with in chapter 5 are these trespasses against our father. In verse number 15, he said, "If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance, and the holy things of the Lord." Verse 19 of that same chapter, he says, "It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against" who? "Against the Lord." Against the Lord. And so these trespasses are described here as trespasses against our Father. They are trespasses and sins against God because we fail to give God what He is due. Now, what is that? If you fail to give somebody that which they are due, then neighbor, you are guilty of fraud. Why? Because you're keeping something that don't belong to you. And you're keeping it fraudulently under the auspices that it belongs to you and not to them. Amen. And so he said in verse number 15, "If a man's soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish." And it goes on to describe it. Now, what's he talking about here? When he's talking about committing a trespass with reference to the holy things of the Lord, he's talking about the holy gifts and sacrifices that are brought to God. How might a man commit a trespass against the Lord? He might commit a trespass against the Lord by not paying his tithe. That was a fraud. Why? He's not paying God what he is due. He's holding back that which really belongs to God and saying, in effect, it's mine and not God's, and that's nothing short of fraud. That's what it is. He may sin against God and commit a trespass not carrying an animal for sacrifice for a burnt offering or a peace offering that he'd intended to bring. Perhaps he overlooked the thing. After all, we're talking here about a lot of sins of ignorance, are we not? Suppose whenever he tallied up the head of his sheep or his bullocks or his lambs, perhaps he counted them wrong, and all of a sudden he found out he had more than he thought he had. Some others came in he didn't know he had. He'd already paid that to God. He wound up, he come up short. It was ignorant, but yet what was it? He was still guilty of that. He kept back that which belonged to God, and it was an act of fraud. And God said, even though it was ignorance, yet he was guilty, and he had to bring a trespass offering unto the Lord. He could sin against the Lord and trespass with reference to a vow. He could say, "God, when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to bring you that little lamb there. You've blessed me with all these flocks, and I'll pay. I've got my tithe set aside over here, but God, I feel good today, and I promise you, I'm going to make a vow. When I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to give that lamb right there to the priest." As the months roll by and he gets ready to go to Jerusalem there, at one of the festivals, either Passover or the others, he forgets to bring the thing. He made a vow to God, but he didn't bring it. You say, well, that was an accident, an oversight. God's holy. God's holy. God's holy. Accidents and oversights are sins with the holy God. Can you get that through your head? And so he said, hey, if a man does that, then he is going to have to not only bring the lamb, but he's also going to have to bring a ram for a trespass offering. He'll deal with that ram in just a minute. And so these trespasses are trespasses or sins against our Father. We fail to give him what is due. Amen. Say, well, when do we do that? Well, sure we do. Amen. Boy, if God's blessed you and you got a pocket full of money and a big old checking account, then honey, you ought to give God something out of it. Amen. You ought to give God his dues, what you ought to do. If you don't do that, you know what you're doing? You're committing fraud and you're committing a trespass against God. And what's that going to do? That's going to separate between you and God. Amen? But for some reason, we think in this day in which we live that we don't consider these things, that they're really not significant. I won't tell you, God has not changed. He is still holy. Amen? And trespasses are still trespasses. And when we fail to give him his due, then, honey, we're committing fraud and trespass against God. Amen? He's due some of the time in our lives. Amen? Time to spend with him, to fellowship with him, to talk with him, to read his word. Amen? Time to go to church. All of that is time and things that are due God. He's worthy of our praise. Amen? He's worthy, bless your heart, of every effort that we can lift up and sing songs to praise him, bless your heart. And if we fail to give that to God, then we're keeping back that which he's due. And honey, we're committing a trespass. That's right. So we ought to give God that which is his due. If we don't, then we're committing the trespass that he's talking about here in the holy things of the Lord, the gifts that God is due. And remember, there were no exceptions in those things. But not only what he's due, but what he demands. Look, if you will, in verse number 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wished it not, yet is he guilty. So, if a man violated one of the commandments of God, guess what? He not only had to bring a sin offering, he had to bring a trespass offering. He had to bring a trespass offering. So you can see that a fellow got backslid very long. These things could pretty much pile up on him, couldn't he? Amen. God was trying to get them to see his holiness and the importance of maintaining a daily relationship with him. Amen? And the way that this was done, being that we are weak creatures, being that we are have a tendency to do the wrong thing, God didn't cast us off and demand that we die, but yet God made provision for us that we could approach him. What? Through the grace of the sin offering and the trespass offering. What a good God. Because, boy, I tell you, the way my mind is, I can imagine how some of them poor old Israelites were, boy. I forget things all the time. God forbid that I would do that on God. But yet, I have to say that it does happen. Amen. And so, it's a failure to give him what he's due and what he demands. Now, we'll notice here that there's a penalty we'll deal with a little bit later. And we don't see one with reference to this trespassing the commandments of the Lord, because obviously there's nothing that can be restored or restituted. It just has to be made right with God. And so, it's not only a sin against our Father, but it's also a trespass against our fellow. In chapter number 6 and verse 2, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor, nobody would do that, in which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, surely no Christian would do that. Or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lied concerning it, and sweareth false in any of those things that a man doeth, sinneth therein, then it shall be because he sinned, he is guilty. Now, he catalogs here a few of these sins. Now, be sure this is not everything that a man could do. Why? Because, you see, there are people who will actually go into the Bible, and they will try to look for the Bible to say something very specific concerning what they're involved in. And if they cannot find it, then they'll think what they're doing is all right. So this is a general catalog to give you an idea of what God's talking about when he's talking about trespassing on the rights of others. But be assured, the intent of the law was this, that anything you do to violate the rights of anybody else is a trespass in God's eyes, irregardless of how you do it or the way that you do it. And so the first thing we see, the trespass in something secured. Somebody gave somebody something, his neighbor, to keep for him, to secure for him. Now, the book of Proverbs talks about being a surety or security for somebody else. And this example here is one who brought something to his neighbor and said, here, would you mind keeping this safe for me? Suppose he brought him an ox. Said, listen, I'm going over toward Syria, Damascus, to visit Uncle George up there. And would you mind keeping my ox and feeding it while I'm gone, taking care of it? Well, sure, I'll do that. You're my neighbor. While he's gone, I neglect that thing, and it gets bony, and it gets skinny, and perhaps it dies. Well, I was supposed to be doing him a favor, but in actuality what I did was I neglected that and allowed his ox to die. That's a trespass. Something that was delivered unto me for security, I did not take care of it, didn't maintain it. Therefore, I'm guilty, God says. I must restore that element back unto the one that entrusted it to me. But not only something secured, but something shared. He said not only to keep, but he said, or in fellowship. Now, what does fellowship mean? Always in the Bible, fellowship means communion. Two or more individuals sharing one common thing. All right, suppose me and Hunter, we decided we're going to go into business together. Huh? Hey, huh? So maybe we're gonna get us a shrimp boat, Frank, and we're going to go out here and shrimp, and we're going to pool all this money that we make together. A certain part's going to go to you, to me, and a part to the boat and all of that stuff. But then you find out that I didn't exactly split the tally just right, that I kept a little more of it than really I was due, and it wasn't a fair split. That's a trespass. I've infringed upon the rights of Frank and Hunter in that shrimp boat. Amen. That's what he's talking about. In fellowship, something that individuals enter into together, some project, it must be done in a way so that the rights of nobody is trespassed upon. And if it is, there must be restitution, there must be penalty, and there must be an offering for that trespass. But not only something secured and something shared, but God forbid something stolen here. The Bible says something taken away by violence in verse number 6. Now I declare. How can I say anything nice about this? It's not real easy, is it? Some of the most violent, mean people, and I don't know if they were saved, but were they? They're not, probably not alive today. I've ever met, sat on the church pew. Amen. When I was lived in Georgia, when I graduated high school, I played music all over the state of Georgia, from the north corner down to the south. I played in warehouses. I played in officers' club. I played all over the place. Nobody ever wanted to hurt me. As soon as I got saved and started preaching the Word of God, people wanted to hurt me. I'm talking about violently, and I'm talking about physically. Amen. I've been starved out. I've been left hungry. I've been left with no way out of town. Amen. So I'm kind of used to those kind of things. I'm used to violence. So I know that there are people who call themselves the people of God who are capable of committing violence and taking somebody from something from somebody else. God forbid I'd ever see that happen. Amen. Usually what they won't take is your life. God forbid we won't take anybody's money. But that's what he's talking about right here. And so obviously God saw something that Donnie Murphy didn't see. And so he put it in here. And he said, if anybody does anything like that, then it is a trespass before God. And it separates him and God. But not only that, but something that is sworn in verse number 4. He said somebody found something. He didn't report the thing that he found. He swore falsely in verse number 5 there. He lied about it. And the Bible says that's a trespass. And it's going to have to be restored by that man. Well, here's the thing. I'm sitting out on the porch one day, and here comes one of my neighbor's sheep walking through my pasture there. And it just goes over, and it just joins up with the sheep I've got in my pasture. Well, I've got a sheep. I mean, I didn't make it come over here. It came over of its own accord, amen. Then my neighbor comes over and says, I'm missing one of my sheep. I can't find it nowhere. Have you seen it? I haven't seen a thing. The trespass. I've infringed upon the rights of my neighbor, and I've sworn falsely and lied in that fact. You say, well, preachers, that kind of stuff happens. Happens all the time. Happens all the time, amen. That's right. As long as there's a devil, there's going to be liars. You can mark it up, honey. There's going to be liars. And so if a person is deceitful in any of their works or their dealings with other individuals, then they are violating their rights and they're committing a trespass against them. And until they get that thing straightened out, their communion and fellowship with God is broken, and their communion and fellowship with their neighbor has been severed and broken. But you see, here's the thing about it. Most people feel that the value of that sheep or that bullock or that ox or that good feeling of victory or whatever it is that they have gained through offending somebody else is worth it. Yeah. There are people so lustful that they think that it doesn't matter, you know, because it makes me feel good, and therefore I'll do it. I've got some gain out of it. Amen. Now, I have doubts about anybody being saved like that, but this is what God wrote in His Word. He didn't write this for the Canaanites. He wrote it for His people. It was not to be done. It was not a civil crime. It was a spiritual crime which separated man from God in the trespass, and it had to be made up for. Now let's close. Let's talk about the deliverance from trespasses. What was a man to do? Well, there were specific things involved in securing forgiveness for trespasses. Let's just walk down them. First of all, there was the restoration of the principal. In chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, "And he shall make amends for the harm that he's done." Now here he's talking about the holy things of the Lord here. God said, hey, you don't ignore it. You don't forget about it. You make amends. If you promise to make a vow and to bring something to God, you bring it. Amen. If you did not pay your tithe, then you pay your tithe. You restore it whenever you come before the Lord. That's what he's saying. Amen. A restoration of the principle. Now, suppose that we had gone in a venture together, and I had defrauded Brother Hunter and Brother Skinner there, and it came to my attention. What am I to do? Well, I'm to make up for it. I'm to give them the principal every farthing that I cheated them out of. That's what I'm to do. What is that? That is making amends, if you will. Look in chapter 6 and verse 5. He describes it. The middle part, he said, he shall even restore it in the principal. All that I cheated them out of or deceived them out of. But there was not only the restoration of principal, but there was the institution of a penalty, if you will. It was interest. If you look back over in verse number 16, with reference to the holy things of the Lord, he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto. Go back over in verse 5 of chapter 6. He shall restore it the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto. So there was not only a restitution of the principal, but there was also restitution of a penalty, which is what? Interest. Now, any of you ever, you familiar with interest? Are you familiar with penalties and interest on overdue accounts that have not been paid? I hope you're not real familiar with it. It's in real fine writing, amen. But you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Here's what God said. In the holy things of God, if I go down to Passover and I don't bring the tithe to God, if I happen to leave part of it at the house, suppose that I left five lambs at the house that I was supposed to bring to God, then I have defrauded God, I've committed a trespass, I must bring those five, but I must also add another one to it. I must add 20%. The double tithe that made up for it. Not only that, but in our relationship together. If I have cheated Brother Hunter and Brother Skinner out of $100, then I must not only give them that $100 I cheated them out of, I must give them the $20 penalty and interest, the double tithe. I've committed a trespass. Well, I don't understand that, preacher. Well, let me ask you this. Would it be right for me to use their money over a period of time and accrue interest on it and then only give them what I owe them and not give them interest? No, it wouldn't, because I've made money off the money that I've cheated them out of. Amen. Amen. Now, we have something at the fire department we call holiday pay. We get our holiday pay in the latter part of November around Thanksgiving for all the holidays of the year. Now, the city keeps our money that we have earned through those holidays through the year, and all the time they're making interest. And I ain't complaining. I'm using it for an illustration. I actually like it because it helps make a good Christmas. Amen. But the point I'm making is this. They actually get to take that money of all the city employees there, especially the fire department, rather, And they get to keep the interest. They give us what we made, but they get to keep the interest. So it's good for them. It's good for me, too. I'm not complaining. But if we were going to go in biblical terms, you know what? That wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right. I mean, I like it. Please don't misunderstand me. Go grab and fire. I like what they do. It makes a lot better Christmas for me. I'm sure these other firemen will agree with me. But that's what I'm talking about here. It wouldn't be right for me to cheat them out of the principal and then just give them the principal if I've made interest on it through the time that I've had it. Amen. I must restore that penalty. Amen. The double tithe that I give unto them. But not only do we see the principal and the penalty, but we see the propitiation, the substitution of the propitiation. What was he to do? First, there was to be the restoration. He was to bring it to the priest, and the penalty was to be paid. But then he must bring the ram of trespass. The ram of the trespass offering. Now, you remember in the sin offering, there were different offerings for different individuals if they committed a sin. Remember that? Begin with the priest, went to the people, came down to the ruler, and then the common man. You remember that? Well, in here, no matter who it is, they have to bring a ram of consecration. A ram happens to be a male. Said it had to be without blemish, had to be brought, and it had to be of a certain value. It said of thy estimation to the priest. In other words, you ain't going to bring no runt. If you do, the priest will look at it and say, hey, you know, that thing, That ain't worth what you did, buddy. You better go back and get a little bit bigger one, a little bit better one, bring. Amen. That was up to the priest. He made that determination. Look at it there, according to the shekel of the silver. It had to be of a certain value. Amen. Now, what do we think of, or should we think of, whenever we think of a ram in the Bible? We should think of substitution. One day God appeared to Abraham, Genesis 22, and said, Abram, take now thy son, thine only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah. Abraham took his boy Isaac, laid him down with the wood. They went to Mount Moriah, some distance off, 3 days' journey. They went up on that mountain, and Abraham put his boy on that wood. And he drew the knife back, and he was fixing to do exactly what God told him, even though that what he was doing, it didn't go along with the nature of God he'd come to know. But he trusted God that much. After all the things he'd been through, amen. It did take a while to get to this point. But when he did, the voice called out, Abraham, stay now thy hand. And he looked, and behold, a ram had his horn caught in the thicket. What happened? He offered that ram. So what's the great doctrinal teaching of the ram? The teaching of substitution. Now, I can reconcile with my brothers with reference to differences. I can reconcile in areas where I've wronged them with reference to money and individuals like that. Amen? But how am I going to get reconciled with God? I don't have a ram. Amen? We don't do those things anymore. Jesus became our trespass offering. Amen? Amen. He became our trespass offering. Now, another thing I want you to notice here before we go on and deal with this a little bit. In the sin offering, the blood was taken and put where? On the horns of the altar. On the upper part where everybody could see it. Amen. The only one way you ever can get saved, honey, and that's public confession, the fact that you're a sinner. And you need to be saved. But the blood of the ram of trespass was sprinkled on the side of the altar. It wasn't in the public view, but it was in a secluded view. Now, what's the teaching that we can get from there? Me and Frank don't have to drag our dirty laundry out before this church when we trespass against each other. It doesn't have to be brought out to public view. All that has to be taken care of between me and this man. Say, Brother Frank, we've had our differences. I said some things that weren't real nice. I want you to forgive me. Well, I know you didn't mean it. We just got a little hot and heated argument. We hugged each other. Y'all ain't got to know nothing about that. Y'all ain't got to know nothing about that. You see, you don't have to publish your sins to the world. I mean, God forbid y'all not do that. I'm ashamed of most of the things that I did. Amen? So you ain't got to tell everybody about it, but you do have to tell the one that you committed against or vice versa. Amen? Then you tell it to God, but you ain't got to tell everybody else because there's some old long-fingered jabbar that's going to be pointing at you all the time. Oh, you know what they did? Amen. They used to air your dirty laundry. One of our district chiefs one time called us, and he talked to me in a rather unnice way, needlessly, and I talked back to him the same way. I felt he was worthy. But as soon as I hung up the phone, I said, that wasn't right. So I had to pick up the phone and call him back and say, man, I'm sorry I talked to you that way. I shouldn't talk to you that way. You see, we took care of that thing between me and him. You see? And so the blood was sprinkled on the side of the altar, not up on the top, amen. I want to tell you, you ain't got to be around me very long before you realize that I'm a sinner. And I ain't got to be around you very long before I realize you're a sinner, amen. It's going to come out. Amen. But I don't have to publish. Me and Miss Ann got in a fight tonight. Ain't used me coming here and telling you me and Miss Ann got in a fight, but we got it all right. What would that accomplish? Somebody's going to go out here and say, well, remember Brother Don and Miss Ann fight all the time. Amen? You don't have to air your dirty laundry before everybody else, but you get it right with them. Amen? That's what we ought to do. Because if you don't do that, neighbor, let me tell you what happens. That thing festers, and it infects like a sore. Donovan got a splinter up under his thumbnail there, and that thing turned yeller and got all swollen up and infected. Frank stuck a big thing in his hand this week. Honey, if you don't treat that thing, if you ignore it, you know what it's going to do? It's going to continue to swell and infect, and you might see a red line running up your arm right towards your heart. Now, my old grandmama used to say when that line got to your heart, you dropped dead. I don't know if it's any truth to that or not. But the point is this, your body's going to be full of infection, is it not? And so you ignore the trespasses that you have against your brother. You know what's going to happen? It's going to infect, And it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, until ultimately it completely divides the fellowship between not only you and them, but probably others that are around you. And so it has to be made right. There are no other ways out, nothing else that you can do. Thank God that Jesus made provision for us. If we don't do that, then neighbor, there's no use in us coming up here and saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Well, forget it. Forget it. He's not hearing a word you say. Why? You still puffed up against your brother or your sister. Isn't that right? You may as well just forget it. God's not hearing you. Well, how do you know that's what the Bible said? That's what it just said. Amen? And so these things are not little. They are very important as far as a holy God is concerned. Thanks be unto God. He made a way for us. And we find all through the New Testament that word, trespass and trespasses. Think of our guilt, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What are we talking about? What's another word for a trespass offering? A guilt offering. You're condemned. You're guilty. What must you have? A ram, a trespass offering. You must have the Lord Jesus, our trespass offering. Think of our grace, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Think of that grace that God demonstrated unto us when he looked at us and we were guilty, but he did not impute that guilt into us because, in our account, because we had a great trespass offering, and his name was the Lord Jesus, who was our substitute in death. Not only our guilt and our grace, but our glory. Colossians 2:13, he said, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Glory to God. Think about it. When they were nailing Jesus upon the cross as he lay there. Now, I wish you'd get a picture of this in your mind. You know, we say this and you get so used to it. You know, you don't look toward Calvary and you don't see those hands and the flesh that was already mutilated stretched out there with those nails. Now, they didn't have little finishing nails. They had spikes that they drove through his hands on that tree as he lay there. What were they doing? He wasn't a criminal. They were violating his rights. We Americans ought to know about that. They were trespassing, invading. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the midst of his trespasses being committed against him, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What was he saying? They were ignorant. They didn't know what they were doing. That's exactly what Leviticus talks about. Trespasses that men commit so many times that they're not even aware that they're committing them until something brings it to light. Either the Word of God, the law of the Lord, or some individual that has been trespassed and offended by them. Now in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, we find a verse and it says this, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. That word sin there is that same word, asham. So what he's saying here is that fools make a mock at trespasses. They don't worry about who they offend. They don't worry about who they hurt. It doesn't make any difference to them. You ever known anybody like that? I want to warn you about something, neighbor. They must be dealt with, and they should be dealt with swiftly, because they carry a high price. And the price tag that was placed on my trespasses was nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to say this. The effect that this has upon us as a body is simply this. Every church service, when we have prayer requests, somebody raises their hand for prayer and they say, pray for my lost loved ones. Pray for so-and-so. They need to be saved. The effect is this. When that individual that we pray for happens to come to the house of God, is there enough of the Spirit of God here for that individual to get saved? Not if this church is in a fuss and a fight amongst one another. Not if this church is split and divided and arguing and fussing. We needn't expect anybody to come through them doors and ever give their heart to the Lord if they don't see something in us. Amen. That will create a spirit within it. Now, I'm telling you, neighbor, after 24 years, I've seen it. It just does not And so I want to tell you, if you're not going to get things straightened out in your life, then you may as well just forget about getting up here and praying for your lost loved ones. It's not going to happen. It's that important. We're dealing with a holy God who does not overlook even the least of our trespasses. We need to give him his due, and we owe something to one another. In the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, the Bible said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." You see that? I owe that to you. When you hurt, I should hurt. When you rejoice, I should rejoice. Amen? When you weep, I should weep. That's how close we ought to be. But the devil, he's going to do all that he can, all of my life and all of your life, to keep us at odds with one another. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, we cannot compromise. We cannot water down. We cannot thin this Word of God in any way. It says what it says, whether I like it or you like it or not. That's the truth right there. But I want to tell you, the majority of the differences that we have as a church, we don't have about the Word of God. There's probably not a one of you in here that would not say, "Brother Donnie, I believe that Bible is the living, inerrant Word of God." I believe you would say that. So we're not going to fall out over that, are we? So somewhere along the line, something external has to creep in betwixt us to make us fall out and get mad at one another. Amen? And so those are the things that we have to deal with. And we ought to deal with them. Because if we fail to deal with them, then I don't care if I'm the best preacher in the world and I'm a far distance from it. I don't care how good, how hard Brother Danny works on a message and prays and gets up here and preaches. Neighbor, if we're full of that kind of confusion, nobody's going to walk this aisle and get saved. And neighbor, there's some that's coming in here on Sunday morning that need to walk this aisle. And I'm doing all I know to do to encourage them and give them opportunity, but it just ain't a moving. It just ain't a moving. You know, I don't give up. I'm looking for somebody to get saved. That's what this ministry is all about. And I want to tell you, it won't happen unless you and I realize that God will not bless our trespassing. Amen? But God desires to bless, and the devil's making a mess. That's right. And so, honey, we had better get in the right place to realize that we need each other, and that if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen because of us, everyone, and not just a little handful, and not just because of Brother Donnie. Amen. It ain't going to happen from that because of me. And you're full aware of that, amen. You're full aware of that. So let's remember, God's holy. He's going to deal with us based upon that holiness. But thank God that grace is available for all those who will come to the grace. God give us opportunity to repent of our sins. And if we repent toward one another, then that individual has to, of a necessity, forgive us. Because if they don't, Jesus said his Father in heaven will not forgive them. Think of the weight and the consequence of those words. Our Father, we love you, dear God, because you first loved us.